So, good morning. 9:57, to be precise, on January 14th, 2012. A Saturday morning, I'm off to a little bit later start. It's really quite pleasant. The sun is out. It's quite chilly at 28 or 30 degrees, somewhere in there. But not terribly unpleasant. I'm dressed for the weather, so it's fine. Yesterday, I got to, yesterday got buried in coursework. The Blackboard shell for the course that I'm teaching in Moorhead, Kentucky, was available. When I logged in, I found two things. One, Blackboard 9.1, which was totally foreign. Two, a blank shell. They hadn't actually rolled over the original. Now, I sort of expected that. No, I didn't. I expected they were going to roll it. But I was able to open the old course and copy the bits out that I liked and leave the bits that I didn't. The longest time it was to try to figure out how to use the interface because the text would not format the way that I expected it to format when I filled in the little forms. And then I spent something on the order of an hour to an hour and a half just loading in the weekly assignments. Tedious. But I got it done, and I felt good at the end of the day, even though it was quite late in the day, and I was exhausted. So, we have a shell. It's a pretty good course. I added a book. I mentioned this yesterday, I'm pretty sure. I added a book that was an ebook. I did look, and you can buy a paperback for like $11 plus shipping. But it's not, it's a freebie if you order it as an ebook. So I've assigned it as an ebook. One of the things that I've explained to the class is that one of the goals of this class, in addition to covering the material in terms of examining technology education and culture and their interactions, is to teach them how to use these tools that everybody else in the world knows how to use. No, that's not true. There are a lot of people in the world know how to use. And many people in the world have very bad misconceptions about. So I need to help deal with that. That should be a good time. It should be fun. It's going to be a little more relaxed. I don't have to deal with it all day, every day this semester. It's 15 weeks instead of 20 days. It's actually 16 weeks. I'm going to try to figure out how to have them critique and offer feedback to the presentations. I want everybody to see everybody else's presentation. There's about 20, 25 people in the class, something like that. I haven't had any requests to get added, so that was cool. But it is a full class, it has made, and I'll get paid. I'll get paid about, if this works out, I'll get paid about $200 a month. But every little bit helps. I did put a post on Solar Clipper yesterday about the news, or lack thereof, from Ryden. And yeah, Ryden at the moment, on the surface, it looks like Ryden offers just covers and editing. But in practice, there's a certain amount of marketing activity that they are doing behind the scenes. I've seen evidence of some of it, and I've seen what I think is evidence in terms of the sales. Now, part of it has to do with the fact that Ishmael Wong's sales are based on a much larger franchise. The Ravenwood sales are limited because there's only the one book, and people are reticent about starting a series where the rest of the books aren't in evidence, and I don't blame them. So, that's the argument for getting the next book out as soon as possible. There's also another valid argument of putting South Coast out as soon as possible, since that really only needs cover art, and I'm pretty sure I can get Kip Ayers to do something for me for that. I'm still not ready to send him the 30-day letter. If I run out of stuff to write, if I run out of ideas for new books, then they're still not putting out the old books. Maybe. But I have so many new stories that I want to tell that spending any amount of time second-guessing this decision and backfilling is not productive. I think Anita left me a very thoughtful comment about how this seems to be holding me back. No, it's not really. In part of my mind, there's this certainty that as soon as I get going on Ravenwood, they're going to cough up the edits and I'm going to have to drop everything and go do that. The reality is, that would be wonderful. So, I should be doing that. But I think what's going on is a certain amount of percolation. There's a problem with the second book. And I think I've identified pretty much all of the problems. So what I need to do is block out the world and get back into Corlay, get back into Ravenwood, into Tanith Fairport's head. Well, speaking of Tanith Fairport, my Google alert showed me the first apparently legitimate pirating of one of my books. Somebody has put up multi-format Ravenwood with the old cover and the Amazon graphic onto a pirate site, or a site that holds files but holds no liability for doing so. I looked at the DMCA take down notice. They do have a process, but it requires me to expose myself fully to them, home address, phone number, the whole bit, and verification that I am in fact the owner of the intellectual property, which is an interesting challenge. How do you prove that? I'm not exactly sure. And then after I do all of that and send a signed affidavit to them, they will take a day or two to evaluate whether or not my claim is valid. Truth? Who cares? I did download the files just to see. And in fact, they are infested with a virus. So anybody who grabs them will get, I believe, infected. Not exactly sure which one, but there's a big block of code at the beginning of every file that should not be there. It's encrypted, it's a stream of digits, and it's a real long stream of digits. It's definitely an encrypted program hidden in the beginning header of each of the files. So I'm pretty sure that whoever gets it will be infected with something, whether it's a new node on a botnet or what, but if they take it, they'll be paying a penalty for it. So there is a cost for these books, even though they aren't paying it to me. I should leave a note. The site that has the index on it is called, what is it called? Novshelf.com, maybe? It's something like that. Shelf Nov. Novel Shelf. I don't know. It showed up in my Google Alerts anyway this morning. I don't know how often the site gets called, but there aren't that many titles on it yet. There's a big footer on the bottom that says, "We are not responsible for the content of this." I left a comment on my title that said, according to Stephen King, I should now get an agent. This is a link to a pirated copy of my book. We'll see if it goes. That was before I realized that there was actually a viral infection. So perhaps I'll go back and leave a second comment. I can't imagine that they're going to actually post it. The comment was held in moderation, so I suspect what will happen is that it won't be shown to anyone. The disclaimer at the footer says that the owners of the website have no responsibility for anything that gets linked, and that we should contact Orin or the other file carriers to have the takedown notices served. Since they don't host any files, they're not liable. That's an interesting argument. Question is, do I really care? Answer is, not enough to lift my skirt for them to have a good look at the home address, etc. It's not like they couldn't find it. They wanted to find it, but there's no reason for me to send it to them and make it easy, particularly the home phone number. That seems to me like a good way to get a lot of new spam email, new spam voicemail. At any rate, so today is Saturday. We've got everybody home today, but I don't have to do much today, I don't believe, in terms of carting people around. It's a long weekend here in the U.S., at least in my neighborhood. The university has off on Monday, schools are off on Monday, and Kentucky also has a holiday on Monday, so my class doesn't start until Tuesday the 17th. This is unusual. In terms of school starting, a couple of us have got our heads together and said, you know, this seems late. And the answer is, it is late. Every other year, school has started the week before Martin Luther King Day. Now it's not. So school is starting on the day after Martin Luther King Day, which might make a whole lot more sense rather than getting everybody back in the swing of things and then having a four-day week, throwing it all off kilter again. They start the first week where everybody's already off kilter and then move into what hopes to be a smoother iteration. Speaking of school, my elder daughter has managed to deal with credit recovery and made up a whole year of English in about 4 days, just taking pretest and post-tests, which is amusing. So she has the grade, even though she doesn't, or she has the credit, even though she doesn't necessarily have what you would call a good grasp of some of this content. She probably has a better grasp than most, but still, I found it interesting that you suffer through a whole semester worth of work. You do all the homework. She didn't, of course, do any of the homework. You do everything you're supposed to do in order to cover the class, and you get a grade. Maybe the grade is a B, and maybe the grade is a C, or whatever. But she did pretty much nothing for a whole year, and then in 3 days took a bunch of tests and got credit for taking the class. There's something wrong with this system. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but there's something wrong with this system. There's something wrong with education in general, and I don't see anybody doing anything, really, that's going to help us. The problem is, as I've said before, that the people making the decisions about education are the people who are least invested in actually seeing a solution. They also are least prepared intellectually to deal with what it is that they're making decisions about. They don't know what they're doing. Same is true of SOPA and PIPA and all the rest, the legislation that's supposed to be correcting and protecting and all of the rest of that is doing nothing but putting a lot of people at risk. And the people who are making the decisions have pretty much written off the technical people who are explaining to them why it doesn't work and why what they're doing is dangerous as merely part of the problem. I've seen it before. I used to work in a steel mill as a programmer. And that came about because the company found out that I was going to school to be a programmer during the day and then working data entry clerk at night in the evening. And it was a good racket. I should have stayed with it, but they hired me to be a second shift programmer. And the finance department hired me independent of the IT department, which pretty much put the IT department's nose out of joint because I was outside their chain of command, outside of their chain of control. And basically what I would do is write the code and hand it off to them to make sure that it passed their requirement before it was implemented. And so it was a two-step process. I had a terminal and some code to do. And it really was an interesting process because management considered that the IT department wasn't really doing their job because they weren't responding quickly enough. And so when they hired me to put the code together, I was able to put the code together rather quickly because I didn't have to follow any of their rules. Now, were the rules valid? Were the rules useful? Probably. But I think it also was a function of, after I handed the code over to them, they had to turn around and validate it against their standards. Now, I did a pretty good job of maintaining their standards as I was doing the coding, but testing was always an issue. And making sure that the code actually ran the way it was supposed to run was always an issue. For the most part, I was doing my own standalone system, so there wasn't a lot of interface required. So I didn't have to do a lot of backfitting, which was something that they had to do all the time. So it was kind of unfair to the IT department to have finance hire me and then put me to work and then hold me up as an example. Because finance basically said IT doesn't know what they're doing, which was far from the truth. They didn't know very well what they were doing. The same thing is true of Congress and education. They're not listening to teachers. They have a half a dozen teachers that they listen to, a half a dozen experts who have particular agendas. And those are the ones that they're listening to. In spite of the rising swell of voices raised against, in spite of the evidence of schools that are arguably turning out very well-educated students who are, and those schools are now being closed because they're not making acceptable yearly progress. No Child Left Behind is rapidly becoming what I've always called it, No Child Gets Ahead. This is an interesting problem. I don't know how we deal with it. We can't elect new people because the new people who come in are just as bad as the people who were there. I don't see anybody on any of the political slates who seems to have a clue. It's very curious. I think it's, you know, a question of the Groucho Club. The famous line from Groucho Marx that says, I wouldn't want to be in a club that would have a person like me as a member. And I think Congress is turning into a Groucho Club. And anybody who's smart enough, savvy enough to actually be useful in Congress is too smart to run. And the problem with that is we're left with a bunch of bozos making really serious decisions about which they have very little knowledge and very little interest in finding out about. Comes the geese. There's about six different skeins of geese all mixing it up, trying to sort themselves out up there. It's quite lovely. And note to self, never look up with your mouth open while geese are flying overhead. Okay, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and I'll talk to you then.